Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
It's Mark, Richard, Phil, Scoey, and Roy is with us tonight. Scoey, you brought us another big guest after. Well, I hope he's a bit easier on you than Robert Hicks was last week, because he gave you a bit of a pasting, Scoey, if truth be told.
Well, to be honest with you, Matt Wells, good evening, and Richard, and also to the guests what we've got in the studio. I won't be grilling Robert Hicks like I will with this big man, because I know what I might get. I might just get a nice, a bit of an uppercut if I grew like there, but, and I say it's great to have the legendary, and not just on the rugby league field, but also now on the after dinner circuit, is the one and only Roy Dickerson. How are you, Roy? Okay?
Very well, Gary. Thank you. Thank you for the invite tonight.
Yeah, he says you've got a face for radio as well.
Yeah, and as I say to that, and as I just say to you, Roy, I'll do the funnies tonight. Is that okay, mate?
That's no problem with me.
Yeah, very good. Roy, of course, played for Great Britain, Halifax, and Leeds. Great career, Roy.
A great career, actually. Yeah. Enjoyed it very much. Yeah, finished my career off at Bramley.
Also, was that a highlight or a low light?
No, I enjoyed it at Bramley, actually. That's where I'm from, like, originally. So, yeah, it was a pleasure to finish off there, yeah.
Good stuff.
Shame they went out, because we had a good track there, really good laugh. Which cannot be repeated on the air.
Yeah, well, some of it might.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah,
you know,
we
these
will
stories
be, yeah,
have a way of finding the way.
You know, we'll have some stories, and as I say, Roy just mentioned there how he finished at Bramley, but it all started at Leeds, Roy. And I think, was it your debut against the one and only Jim Mills? Would you just like to enlighten on your debut with Big Jim and how it went for you, to be honest?
Because you used to play prop forward.
Yes.
Yeah, for anyone who's listening on the radio, obviously, yeah, some might not know. Yeah, younger listeners.
Yeah, I didn't always look like this. You know, that's maybe why. But that was a tough start, like, to the game, to my career, but I enjoyed it, like, you had to do it. You
know? So Jim a bit naughty with you, wasn't he?
Jim was, well, put it this way, if I found him in bed with my wife, I took him in.
Yeah. Okay. What about Scoey? Would you give him a crack?
I couldn't catch him, actually, but I can now. As you can see, I think he weighs more than me.
Yeah. Actually, Scoey, I've got to be fair to you, pal. I enjoyed some Schofield hospitality at the weekend, and I must say, very generous guest you are as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'm pleased to say I'm still alive after eating your cooking, which is always a bonus. But no, seriously, I enjoyed you do.
Yeah, you might well.
Are you 50 yet?
Wednesday, yes, the big 5-0. So I guess some people might say, well, there's 24 hours still to go. Yes, go, you may get there, you may not. Enjoy Saturday afternoon, some good people, good friends, and we had a great time.
Yeah, we did indeed. Richard's delighted this week, because Wakefield didn't lose this weekend, Rich. That's a bonus.
No, signed some players and everything. It's all going off.
Might
be homeless, but, you know, he's got some players now.
Well, what's happening about that?
I was going to say that, Rich. What's going on there now with Wakefield from a point? And also, as well, more importantly, where the hell are they going to play?
Well, Thorns Park, you know, a bit of room there, put some sticks up, it'll be all right. No, I think what it is, by the sounds of it, the current owner...
Barnes is too far, Rotherham's too far, Sheffield's too far, where are they going to play?
We'll go play at Castle Park, we'll go there.
Well, Doncaster's 30 miles down the road, yeah. You know, so...
I think...
Do you agree with it as a Wakefield fan? Leaving Bellevue.
Hold on. They ain't gone yet. Yeah.
December the 24th is give notice, as Michael Carter.
Reading.
Are you saying Michael Carter might be just putting some pressure somewhere where he shouldn't be?
Exactly.
Want me to say it rather than me? Okay, and then I'll see where we stand.
You ain't know how shrewd Michael Carter is. Come on, let's cut him some slack here.
Oh, he was on Terry Stoke on Saturday lunchtime, and...
Can download it at audioboom.com if you missed it.
The general idea is the rent Wakefield Trinity Wildcats are paying the Bank of Ireland is too much.
How long have the Bank of Ireland been the owners of the ground? I didn't know. I mentioned to Roy earlier before we came on air. How long have they had the ground?
3 or 4 years.
Was it Ted Richardson's days then? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They have ended up with the ground, and the rent they are charging Wakefield, the club, stroke Michael Carter, think is too much. They're trying to renegotiate that to a level which is more applicable to the club. I think Michael said on the interview with Phil on Saturday. It's about £250,000 a year, which is a lot of money.
So I guess then, at this moment in time, the Bank of Ireland is the marquee signing for Wakefield, is it? We're paying £250,000
a year. £250,000 a year, yeah. fair enough.
Do I think Wakefield will play there next season? Well, I don't think I'll be rushing to the last game of the season to, you know, run on the pitch and nick some grass or anything. I think it's a bit of brinkmanship. What can the Bank of Ireland do with the ground? Not a lot. As far as I'm aware, and again, I could be wrong, and someone can correct me on this, they can't do anything with the ground until Wakefield have a permanent home elsewhere. And obviously playing in Dewsbury, Doncaster or Timbuktu for a year is not a permanent home for Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. So,
interesting.
Bit of brinkmanship, we'll see what happens, but I'm you know, 99% sure Wakefield will kick off the 2016 season in whatever division at Bellevue.
Big Roy, fond memories of Bellevue?
Yeah,
Happy days there for you when you was at Leeds.
Happy days at Bellevue, yeah. Won most games, I think, when we played there. Got sent off there a couple of times. What was you
sent off for? A bit of tickle and tackle or something?
Just
or?
Just tick somebody.
Who were you knocking hell out of then? Who was it?
Well, I think he knocked hell out of me, to be honest.
And you got sent off? What, it wasn't cowardice or something, was it?
He hit me first.
Who was it?
Bill Ashes. Lovely man.
No,
big friend of mine, Bill Ashes, lovely man. We sat in the bath afterwards because they were all in the bath in them days. And toasted out actually. I said, Bill, what did he hit me for? He just come back from Australia.
Penrith.
He says, from Penrith, that's right. And he said, well, these have promised me this and promised me that, and I'm not getting it, so I don't want to play for him anymore. And you were the nearest. So, and he says, well, why did he hit me back? I said, because he bloody hurt. And now we've been pals ever since.
Very good. Roy did confirm your, you know, your story with the old referee saying, when you get it, you can get him back when, you know, you've got one, you can get him back when
well,
you
well, that's right, it was right, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah, it was good. I was just talking earlier outside and mentioned my old pal Ronnie Campbell, one of the great referees, and it went all tit for tat, and if somebody, you know, copped you one like, and he said, don't worry about it, lad, I've seen it, you'll get your own back. And we were playing at Workington, I'm sure it was Workington, or maybe Whitehaven, I can't remember now, it's that long ago. And somebody flattened me. Anyway, I shouted and bawling, and I'll do this and do that. And Ronnie said, no, it's okay, I've seen it, lad. He says, you'll get your own back. Anyway, I forgot all about it. Actually, second half, I'm stood outside of him, like, you know, I've run back on side. He tapped me on the backside and says, all right, then, young one, go get him. So I thought, right, license to kill. So I went bang, and Ronnie says, oh, God, I said, what's up? He said, I didn't think you were going to hit him that hard.
Did he say you opted it?
No.
All right.
I carried him off other fella.
That's how it used to be.
Yeah.
At RL on RY on Twitter.
The softening up period, I would say, yes.
Yeah. We were expecting a tough game at the KC, one of our commentary games this weekend, on Friday night, Scoey. Well, FC were dire, weren't they?
Well, I said in my column today in the League Express, and I don't think I've been harsh. And Lee Rafford as well has confirmed how bad Hull were. And to be honest with you, I was going to a joke shop today, but unfortunately it was closed because I was going to buy some big Kenny Everett hands. Come on, the big Kenny Everett hands and write, catch this, you know, for Joe Westerman. And a fair play to Joe, he's come out and realised that he's had an absolute stinker. But as Lee Rafford has said after the game, you know, the passing skills, the catching skills, and I said in my column today, just literally under-8s, you don't expect that. I don't even watch it, Roy, but, you know, some of the mistakes, you don't expect under-8s. And not just Westerman, Danny Outham, Kirk Dixon. That pass Kirk Dixon gave, you know... Kirk Yeaman, Gareth Ellis, Minicello, experienced players, absolutely dire. And, again... It's not the coach's fault. You know, they train to do this and should be able to handle pressure. Them players are big game players, you know, quality players. And Leon Price, where was Leon? No help for Jordan Addo whatsoever. You know, he's an experienced player there. But, yeah, Hull, very, very poor. As I say, under-8s would play better. But take nothing away from Leeds. Leeds, quite simply... In semi-final mode, as they do, you know, when the semi-final comes around in Super League, Sinfield just absolutely marshalled. Sinfield toyed with them. Leeds toyed with them when the pressure was on. We'll take the 2 points. And when it was time to put the pressure on, they just literally strangled it out of them. And Hull, quite simply, had no answer.
Yeah, Roy, any surprise? Kevin Sinfield, a wet, miserable night on Humberside, and he kicks Hull to death. He was outstanding on Friday.
I didn't see the game because I was at a do at Castleford Tigers on Friday. But I've read the reports about it, and as I say, like Kevin Sinfield, maybe the best kicking player in the world, I think. You know, he just marshals where the ball goes, and I think Leeds have missed him. There's something going off there, I think. But
obviously Sutcliffe out for the year. Well, so I'll tell you what,
we'll be for sure. Cynthia won't be put on the bench, and Cynthia won't be dropped for the rest of the season.
Well, we'll have
no
to
way,
see.
Mate.
I don't know.
Why do you know something we don't know? We try and get things out of Phil Kaplan. Yeah, he letting
it
us know.
It seems to me that like Leeds are like looking to prepare for life without Sinfield, and why would you?
Do you know what?
Best you've got.
I tell you what, right? Exactly. Yeah. We agree with that. But he's there at the end of the season, so you've got to play him, haven't you?
Yeah, if I was working with the best bricklayer, and then I'd say, I'd give him a rest all the time, you know, you'd make him work, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it.
Scully doesn't agree with giving players rest, Roy. Where do you stand on that one?
Well, he should do, because he had enough rest when he was playing, you know.
Oh, hey, the truth's coming out now, Scully.
I'll tell you what, I played it with Roy a few times, and you know, he will say. I remember he called me a few names when I was taking interceptions and going under sticks and beating him in quarterfinals at Yorkshire Cup and semifinals at Yorkshire Cup. But I'm not apologising.
I remember the
one thing I've shown, it's like what Trevor Skirrick said to me when I was going to play against Trevor for England and Wales, and Roy exactly the same. If they say to you, if you come near me, you little so-and-so, I'll knock your head off. And quite simply, you listen. And that's why Roy Dickie said, oh, Trevor Skirrick was a teammate of mine and played for Wales. You take advice, because if you did go near him, they would have carried out exactly what they was going to tell you. So I call that being a little bit smart.
It's advice.
But smart from my point of view, yeah, by not going near the big guy. So
I must say, one night we played at Boulevard, and Gary, I think, just started as a young kid, about 17 or whatever.
18,
was,
yeah.
And he beat Leeds on his own. I've got to say that. I was impressed, to say the least. Not the best looking player I've seen, but
I'm going to say, you'd look at him, right? You'd think he'd been beating the living daylights out of, wouldn't you? Is that how he looked when he was 18?
Hold on, don't you dare start with Richard as well. I tell you what, we're not full of George Clooney's and Brad Pitt's around this place, you know. But come on, lads, you know the old saying, you know, we've all got the face for radio here, so let's not be beating about the bush.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Roy, do you think Leeds can go on and win it? I mean, they've got Saints in the semi-final.
Yes, I do, actually. I think Leeds are the big game side. I think they seem to pull it off when they want to. They can play when they want. I think there should be 6 points clear in the league, actually. They just slipped up a couple of times early on. They're a very, 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 very good side. Young side. Some good kids there. I do wish we'd have kept hold of young Jones Bishop, because I admired him, but things want to be. He won't get enough game time. You can only play this game for so long.
Yeah.
So fair play to it, kid. He's got to go.
Yeah, fair enough. Phil Kaplan has joined us. We're going to have to start monitoring his timekeeping.
Good evening, Phil. How are we? Okay.
Fine. Huh? I was bringing you ice creams, but they melted on the way in.
Do you believe that?
No.
It's better than a dog ate home. We're not much.
Yeah. Dog ate my wallet the other day. Seriously.
Yeah, I tell you what. I must say, Phil, Friday night, 'cause I'm a little bit hungry. I didn't have much to eat, and Phil just nicely gave me half his sandwich on Friday night. I tell you what, you wouldn't have done that, Matt Wilson, would you? You would have chewed your fingers off before you would have offered me half of your sandwich, wouldn't you?
I fed you all last week. Well, how can you say that to me? All of you. Apart from Roy, obviously.
Please. We should have gone tonight, because he would have skinned you. Big Roy.
Looking at him, I wouldn't have said no if he'd said he wanted some more.
I tell you what, Roy, we're talking about a bit about food now, and I say, Roy, we look at the game today, don't we, with the dietitians and the psychologists and ice baths and all this sort of thing. Your pre-match, what was it, Roy? What was it pre-match? Obviously, you played Sunday afternoons and then, so
we're
pre-match,
playing,
let's just say from Thursday, you're training on Thursday, like
Saturday.
Oh, was it Saturday? Oh, yeah, Saturday. So your pre-match then, from Thursday night till match day, what would it have been?
Just same as normal. Never did anything different, you know.
So Thursday night training, a few pints after training?
Thursday night training, if you won, a few more pints, you know, winning pay Thursday.
Yeah.
Winning pay, Cinderella's, losing pay, they all make it.
So now Thursday night, Fridays, work overseas. Early night Fridays, so a couple of pints Friday.
Friday night then, so you was out with the lads Friday night.
Couple of pints Friday.
Working Saturday morning and playing Saturday afternoon.
See, they're talking about fatigue today. Do me a favour, fellas. Phil, do me a favour, fatigue, tired, play too many games. Roy, do you think they play too many games?
No, I don't think they played too many games at all. I think we played a lot more games. We should play at least 40 games.
Did you ever feel tired when you was playing?
All the time.
Yeah, he said, especially when he was carrying you around, that's what he said.
No, the fitness levels were nothing like, obviously.
Exactly,
like,
that's the difference.
Fitness levels were nothing.
The tired now, even though they are allegedly super fit, Phil, that's what I'm saying.
Would you have been in the gym 6 days a week?
Yeah, I would, yeah. I'd been in the gym 6 days a week. Now I've had time. Still got to go to work, you know.
He's in the gym now. Jim's calf at six times a week before he goes to work.
Oh, dear. Leeds, impressive, Phil, on Friday night. We've just been mentioning how poor Hull were, but let's pay credit to how good Leeds were. Some unsung, well, we say they're unsung, we know now, the likes of Ablett doing the work that they do, and just relentless, really, in the middle of the park.
Really good wet weather cup tie football. They played in the the parts of the pitch where they needed to be, so that's where Kevin Sinfield came in with a very good kicking game. They kicked every opportunity they had because it's a cup tie. They scored early in each half, which obviously then gave Hull a target to aim at. But I thought, again, you mentioned unsung heroes. On the hour, it was still only 16-0 and could have gone either way, although you really were struggling by then to see where Hull were actually going to score. And it looked as though Gareth Ellis was over and Brett Delaney came from nowhere. And this is Brett Delaney, who's been out for, what, six weeks? And absolutely smashed him on the line, forced him to drop the ball. Soon after that, Joe Westerman made one of his numerous breaks.
But we changed his name tonight. We changed it to Kenny Everett, you know, Big Hands.
Well, the Big Hands, he might have caught.
So it's Joe Everett tonight. Well, or Kenny Westerman.
Yes, he dropped the ball, but Hardacre tackling him as it looked like he was going round him, you know, forced the effort.
What a great tackle, though, by Hardacre, wasn't it? That just proves to you, you know, with Sutcliffe, as I mentioned in the show a couple of weeks ago, Sutcliffe not being a full-back from a point of view, positional point of view, how good is Zach Hardacre with his positional play? Isn't he? Sensational.
Absolutely. And again, I think Leeds were light on a couple of very important players, but it was the defensive solidity of all of them that got them through. You know, Robin barely played, so they almost played with 16 men. But the Hull were just bizarre. I mean, all season we've been saying... Hull's problem is not their defence. They're still, what is it, third best defence in Super League. It's actually creativity and moving the ball. They haven't scored enough points, so it's a wet night, it's a cup tie, and they decide from the off they're going to move the ball with every play. Why would you do that?
Nah, it seemed a little bit, they were a poor side for me, and it was said on air, dull, weren't they? Hull were dull.
You said
quite frankly.
Dull Hull, and as I said after the game, if you was giving it points out of 10 for that 80 minutes performance, you can't give it no more than 2. Simple as that.
Roy, Carl Ablett and the likes have really stood up in recent weeks. You're a forward yourself. Who do you admire in that Leeds pack at the minute?
Well, the whole of them. I think they all play they all play for each other, and this is what you want. You know, Carl Ablett, the Leeds lad, the Middleton lad, isn't he, Gary?
Yeah.
So Leeds lad, he plays his heart out every game, which is what you want, you know. Yeah. A good local side, really.
Yeah.
And the Leeds lads like Maguire and that, you know, they all get stuck in.
Talking of good local sides, mm-hmm. I don't know if you mentioned the mid-80s at the moment, and a slight influx of Australians.
Slight.
About 15 of them.
Yeah.
How did that go down with the local lads at the time?
Well, it was difficult because there was like taking your jobs in a sense. You know, but they're all good lads that come over. Fortunately, most of them are rubbish. So we all didn't get displaced, actually. But if you was walking past and Eddie Lane had an Australian accent, you'd get a game at the weekend, I think. Everybody just went Australian mad, didn't they, after the
Leeds
test sides came up. Oh, Leeds. I think we had a great player in Terry Webby. He gave us all every game. One or two others. Wally
Trevor Patterson had a fantastic
Trevor Patterson, season. I was with him last month in Sydney.
How is he?
Oh, he's good. He looks the same. He looks well. Yeah, he's good.
I was going to say, did he remember his times at Leeds?
Oh, yes.
Most of them he probably wouldn't, because he was in Top Cats nightclub.
Which boy was always in, he's always in Top Cats more than me. You know, and I was in there 8 nights a week. So, yeah, there's some good lads. I met with some really old mates that played in the 80s and that with Leeds. Well, most of them, actually. Tony Curry and quite a few good lads. And especially the lads that played at Halifax were like Keith Nellan and Graham Eady. Mm-hmm. All looking well, all enjoying themselves. Sid Hines, met up with Sid Hines in Perth, 72 now, going strong. Sid,
good. I was just going to talk to you. I mentioned with Sid there, right? And I was just going to say, Sid, you know, the team what you was on, you know, playing there, you know, with Hagee and Holmesy and Smith, Atkey and Dickie and all them big star players. Sid's coaching, was it all man management or was he a little bit disciplinarian? Because obviously he was all quality, he couldn't really teach you how to catch and pass and tackle and support. So what was Sid like as a coach, Roy?
It was one of the boys. He came from like a player into the coach and just knew. It was just one of the lads. It was just a big happy family. We all used to go out together and drink together and everything, holidays together, and just one of the boys. Just get on with it. Used to say to John Holmes used to take the backs, David Ward used to take the forwards, and that was it, really. We just had a laugh.
So literally you took training yourself and just took control Certainly, when you went on the park for 80 minutes, yeah. But if anybody, let's just say, if anybody was stepping out of the line, say, for instance, I don't know, you know, maybe turned up to train, you know, one Saturday morning, and you maybe playing, smelling of alcohol, this sort of thing, was he disciplined? Would anybody get fined or dropped or anything? Or if anybody stepped over the mark, could he be quite strict with you?
I don't think anybody really stepped over the mark, right, because that's how it was, you know. Yeah. Just a normal, like an extra job, really. Only one instance at Wembley, 78 against St Helensby, a guy called Phil Cookson, who used to go out like a drinker, smashing that with Phil, great player. And Friday night, he said, look, he says, we've all been here before, whatever, some of you come again, and some of you don't deserve to be here. He says, but we're all here, this was Sid. And he says, I just want you to relax and do your normal thing, and if you want to go out and have a drink, go out and have a drink. So we all went out for a drink, and we carried Phil in. carry Phil Cookson back in, he said. And in the morning, he got a bit of a rollicking, and they said, well, you said just do your normal thing. He says, are you like that every Friday? And then, but having said that, on the.
Yeah, he could play, though, couldn't he, Cookie?
Phil, he more or less won us the game with a devastating
time. You never saw him play, man, did you?
No.
Honestly, what a tough, tough, fast second round. Same as Graham Eccles, wasn't it? Graham
Eccles. Phil the runner.
Yeah, and Graham did all the donkey work.
Phil Cookson, I can remember one game ahead of him where he played him on the wing. He was that quick.
Yeah. He was.
Can you imagine second
row
today playing on
that? Yeah. No. Also, another character in that dressing room, Roy, and we was talking about him last week, you know, the physiotherapist, Harvey Standeven. Roy, what a character he was, wasn't he? Eh?
He was a very, very funny man, Harvey. Sadly no longer with us, but good physio. I mean, I don't even know if it was a physio.
Well, I'll tell you, because when I was at Leeds, and Harvey was there, and, well, Harvey Standeven, well, what was his name? Harvey Stan or whatever. But you go into the physio room, right, with an injury, whether it's a bit of a groin or shoulder or hamstring, and literally all he'd do is tell you jokes for 5 or 10 minutes, and then he'd say, oh, what's on with you? And you'd laugh so much about it, you'd say, oh, I don't know, just walk out.
Gone in with a bad knee. All the room was just full of cigar smoke, you know, just, and he was breathing, his ass would be dropping all over and everything. And, I mean, I wasn't hygienic that much, yeah. And then he just started telling jokes, and I got him with a bad knee. And when he finished, he said, right, what were up with you, lad? I thought, I can't remember which knee it was. Next, and then that was it, you know, it was just laughter, a big cure.
What was the biggest highlight of your career then, Roy? What would you put that as?
The biggest highlight of my career?
Yeah.
Obviously, playing for Leeds at Wembley. That's all I ever wanted to do. Ever since I was a kid, and on a weekend when I didn't have school, my mum and dad would let me stop up late, and you know what, telly used to go off at midnight, and they always go, they used to play God Save the Queen. I used to stand in front of the mirror thinking I was playing for Leeds at Wembley, you know,
and wow.
When I was there, it was in my mind, you know, so it was brilliant. And if my life had have ended that night, I wouldn't have been bothered, you know, because I'd done everything I wanted to do.
Take you back to 1972,
yeah,
and the championship final.
75. The one I played in?
Yeah.
75.
Yeah. You were what? How old were you? 19?
17.
17?
17, Wardy were 19, Steve Pitcher were 20.
How good was that?
I mean, it was very, very hard.
That was a big decision to bring the three of you
Roy
in.
Roy Francis, yeah.
But obviously you had no fear, but he had ultimate faith in you.
Well, this is it. I mean, I had fear. I would fight to bloody death, to be honest.
Who was your opponents, Roy? Was it?
John Wallow, John Mantle and Tony Cornelius.
Also, so you said Tellers you played?
Played St Helens. Well, me, Pitchford and Wardy, young kids.
Yeah.
And Roy Francis.
So did you batter him? Did you get stuck into him? Yeah, you got stuck into him,
The instructions, otherwise we wanted them, we'd just tigged them nice and soft.
Yeah, yeah.
The instructions were three old men, go out there and knock 7 bells out of them. And we did, because they both clocks went off before half time.
Who was the referee that day?
I can't remember.
Well, they're going, hold, go.
My God.
Hold, go. I must say, watching the TV this weekend and what have you, they got louder. What's up?
I reckon Robert Hicks said, I got a right grilling off Scoy last week.
He was doing it on purpose. And like James, it was even worse this weekend. The shouting. So, Roy, again, you know, what do you think about the officials and shouting and bawling on television?
Oh, I don't know. It's all mic'd up now, isn't it?
But is it annoying for you? Does it annoy you?
Want it all beep.
Does it annoy you?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. It's not my cup of tea, actually. It's not for viewing, I don't think, anyway.
I'll tell you what as well, he made a big rick as well when John and Turner, he gave a penalty when it was supposed to be stripped, and it wasn't, and St Helens scored a try. Mm. And this is a point I made to him last week. If he was refereeing that £1 million game, and he made that wreck, and let's just say it was the two Humber side clubs, I'll tell you what, he'll be in the Humber if he does all like that. I'll tell you. It was a huge wreck. Huge wreck.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. A letter in the Rugby League Express. Someone agrees with you this week, Scott. Your popularity is growing by the week. You've got three people like you now.
Who's it? My mum or my dad? is he a letter in? Is it? What's it about?
Yeah, we'll come on. It's about your admiration for Luke Gayle, actually. So we'll come on to it later on in our show tonight. Game for Castleford this week.
No points again for him in the Albert Gulf.
I know.
It's a bad run.
It's been a bad run. At RL on RY on Twitter, we've had plenty of tweets coming in. Rich, what's been going on?
Yeah, Brian agrees with Michael Carter's tactics over Bellevue. If they don't reduce the rent, we'll move. We can't afford the current rent. Tyler says Wakefield struggled to get 3,000 at home now. So I doubt they'd get 1,000 moving elsewhere.
Is that because of the ground, or is it because of where they're playing?
They're not winning, is it?
Yeah, exactly, of course it is. If Wakefield were the top of Super League, they would have 7,000 or 8,000 there. So it's not the ground.
And I think there's anything wrong with the ground.
Exactly.
It's a lovely traditional little ground. Yeah,
it is. We get moans all the time about going to Wakefield and going to Castleford, but they're the way you get the atmosphere.
Exactly.
Without being rude, while they've modernised it, it's still quite an old feeling ground, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, that's what you want.
I think. But you don't have to lose the atmosphere. The two most intimidating grounds that I've ever visited were the Boulevard and Wilderspool, and there was a good atmosphere at Hull on Friday night until it was obvious that Hull certainly weren't going to be competitive, and there was a fabulous atmosphere on Saturday afternoon at the Halliwell Jones Stadium.
It's a fair point.
I think, as Carter said in this studio last season, you know, they've reduced the number of people getting in for nothing, so that's probably why the gates are down as well, and they're counting people who turn up rather than those who don't.
Do you think it's a dangerous game of poker, though?
Is that what you do, Richard? No. Is that what you do? Because you're still getting for free.
Oh, hey, that's harsh.
That is harsh. I'm usually sat here.
He could go every week if he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he won't, because he has to pay now instead of sneaking
in.
You have to sort me out a press pass as well, because everywhere I go now I'm getting hassled. You know. I need a press pass.
To be fair, you moaned, didn't you? Let's be honest here. When you went to Bradford the other week and the guy on the gate wouldn't let you in for free, you were moaning, weren't you? You were moaning. Because your face won't get you in. Well, that's what you were mourning for.
I said to the guy as well, the steward, you know, I told him three times that I was working, right? I was working for Radio Yorkshire. And when I had to go get my ticket, I come back to him and he says, "Have you got your ticket?" So I went, yeah. He said, "Well, let me have a look at it." So here you are. So he said, "Right, you could go in there." So I just said to him, nice and politely, I says, "Do you think I'd be here on a Sunday afternoon if I wasn't working at this dump?" Simple as that.
It's a bit harsh. Providence Stadium, Oddsall. What a ground that is. Top of the Championship now. The Bulls will be talking about that later on.
But the ground's a dump.
Well, it was a dump, wasn't it?
It used to be a dump. I'm not a Bulls fan. So if I wasn't working, why would I be at Oddsall on a Sunday afternoon?
Exactly. Probably doing something for free.
No, I won't get in the ground, will I?
Well, hold on, anyway. By the way, because I got absolutely... You chucked me to the wolves the other week when I had a shocker at golf. I notice you've made no reference to my stunning performance at the Bradford Bulls golf day.
Please, Matt Wilson, we all contributed. All the team contributed.
Yeah, we lost on a
count back on the back.
A slightly suspicious count back that I have no doubt we would have won if you hadn't been on our team. So you have let us down this time.
So why are you saying that then?
Well, I'm just, you know, because you come out and criticise my performance, and yet you're not big enough to say, "See, Mark, you played quite well last week."
I said we all contributed to the team.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I don't remember your contribution.
Some more than others. I got you a Mars bar and Twix when Chocolate Man come round.
Yeah. You know what? We got a goodie bag, Phil. This is how tight it is. We got a goodie bag. And he opened it and went, "I'll have them for one of my golf days." And
exactly.
He nicked all my goodies out of my goodie bag.
Took three golf balls, that's all. There'll be a nice raffle prize for my golf days.
Why not buying a ticket?
It's enterprise, isn't it? It's enterprise that you show.
Has he always been tight, Roy? Or has he always been tight?
He's got it.
We had a good day at Selby the other week, Roy, didn't we? A bit of reminiscing there, like we do. A few sherbets, and Roy himself, and after I left him about upper state quarter to nine, and Roy and Sean Miller, another Leeds Rugby League player, hooker, went to a nice little pub and some Elvis impressions. Roy, give us an Elvis, then. Give us an Elvis.
No.
Put your collar up and give us an Elvis. What's your favourite Elvis song?
Oh, I don't know, really.
Old Shep, because you've had a few, or...?
No, I think I've had a few. But, Most of them, really. Yeah, we had a good night Saturday after we left you. I don't remember getting in, but it was a good day.
Good stuff, good stuff. At RL on RY, if you want to get involved, plenty of people getting involved on Twitter tonight. Let's talk about Hull KR, Scully, because they did play well on Friday, Thursday night. I'm losing track of my days now. Thursday night, 24-0 up in double quick time. I tell you what, they like playing rugby league, don't they, the Rovers?
Very, very impressive. And as I said before the game, and I think I said it the week before as well, I think they want to put a statement out and put a marker out that they're not a one-man team. You know, Campese's gone for the season, and I think against Warrington, they want to put that marker down. They did that, and against Catalans, most certainly, for what you would say 40, 50 minutes sheer quality. And We was all asked the question when they played against Warrington, can Albert Kelly tackle? Well, he could tackle against Warrington. Against Catalans, could he tackle? Tell you what, could he tackle? And he's proved to a few people there that he can handle that pressure, what has been left to Campese. But I think Chris Chester, overall, the players like the way that they're playing. Very open, attractive rugby league at times. And also, and I keep harping on at times when I'm doing my commentary, they've got a goal kicker who could turn the four into six, and if you can do that, then you're on the way to victory. And yet, Ulkisser Rovers fully deserved it. The Catalans, they were always going to come back into the game because, you know, for 15, 20 minutes, the quality of what they've got, they will have that spell, won't they? But one thing for sure, it doesn't matter if you're at the top or the bottom, you can't give anybody a 24-point start.
No, impressive, weren't they, Ulkisser?
I thought the, again, proved that perhaps one of the most astutest signings of the season is John Budebsa. I mean, he isn't getting a lot of...
he's signed a new deal, hasn't he, for next year now?
But I think each time you see him play, he's getting... He's obviously becoming attuned to the competition and what's needed of him. He was doing 50 tackles, but I'm not sure he was using his energy wisely. He was just like, anything that moved, I'll try and get in its way. Now I think he's becoming actually a more structured player. He seems to realise what they need from him and when he needs to be running out of dummy half. He's been a terrific signing.
Well, he had the pivotal moment in the game because he put a kick in when they were wobbling a bit, Rovers, after an hour. He put a kick in and he raced 50 yards, tackled the man
and
goal.
Well,
I thought that changed the game.
As we mentioned, hell of a lot in commentary. The two front rowers, Walker and Pollard.
Well, I'm going to ask Roy about that.
Well,
I mean,
they
really
were outstanding there, but I tell you what, you know, Salford have been lacking decent players now for nearly 2 years. So my question was on Friday, how come Tony Pulatua cannot get in that Salford side? So something most definitely has happened there for him, because I tell you what a quality performance he has put in the last cut two times for Ulkisser Rovers.
They really took it forward, didn't they, the Rovers pack, because Scott will always say, you know, about the backs winning the game, but if the forwards don't perform, they've nothing to play off.
I think they're a really, really good signed surprise package. I think OKR, I watched them on the week at Edinburgh about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Really impressed how they throw the ball about. You know, they throw the ball about better than Leeds, actually. And it was a close game. Good lads. I think they'll go to Wembley, me.
Do you think they'll beat Warrington?
I think they've got the ability to do it, and I think they've got the belief, and they'll get stuck in. And you watch, I think they'll do it.
In some ways, it's a shame that there's 4 weeks before the semis. Because in the old days, when it would have been a fortnight, I reckon Hull KR would have
got
momentum.
And then there's 4 weeks before the final.
But there's a lot of big games then.
Oh, there's a lot in between. Yeah.
Because of the eight, you know, they're on the fringe of of getting in the eight. They'll want to be in it, even if that means that they're not going to go a lot further in the Super Eights. They're certainly not going to get into the four.
I tell you what, though.
They don't want to be worrying about playing in that middle eight and being in a.
Well, I tell you what, though, Phil, you're saying that, right? I think what a balancing act here now has got to do for OK. I say, listen, well, they haven't been in Wimbledon since 1986, have they? So the balancing acts could be, yeah, we're good enough. If we do get in that middle eight, or that bottom, you know, that bottom eight there, they're not going to get relegated. They've got too much quality there. So they're going to be in Super League next year at Ulkisser Rovers. So do they say, yeah, we've got to balance it, and then we've got to put all our eggs in one basket, win that semi-final, get to Wembley, and then we'll deal with Lee, Bradford, Sheffield, whoever, when that comes along? I think that could be their philosophy.
Okay. Although the way Hull played, and the fact there's another Hull derby to come, that could be the crucial game. Yeah. I think Ken Seo as well, we need to give him a mention. The recruitment has been really good. I know they recruited 30 players, and not everyone worked. Ryan Bailey was only there for 15 minutes, but CO has been superb this year. Great finisher, and obviously Kelly. There was a worry that he was a one-trick pony, but an interception merchant, and was a glory player rather than was
not wrong with that. Not wrong with that interception merchant. Not wrong with that, Phil.
I'm not sure you can exist on just that.
I tried.
It could be one of your friends.
I tried, Phil.
That's true, but. But I think again, they've got some. You were mentioning Mantelas on one, yeah, and having Sayo on the other. That's, yeah, a really good balance.
I tell you what, when you saw when they created that first try and Sayo got it 40 yards out, you just felt, go on, my son, show us what you can do. And I tell you what, didn't he show us what he could do? It was sensational to see. What? Nice creativity. Created the overlap, but then he had the winger. Here's your opportunity. I tell you what, it was just pure rugby league as far as I was concerned.
Well, they're a great team to watch because you know they're always going to guarantee points every single time we see Hawke. Bar that game at the Magic weekend where they were dreadful, every other time we've seen them this season, they've been a joy to watch going forward. They're the big outsiders for the competition, as you'd expect, with Leeds and Saints in the other semi, but I think they can do Warrington.
We've said it before, there is a hint of Castleford about them. Perhaps they're not as consistent as Castleford were last season, but in many ways...
What's their running then for the last four games, Richie? If we look, they've got Salford, haven't they, tomorrow night?
Yep.
They've got Hull the last game, and who else have they got the other two games then, Rich?
My brain is just going slowly.
They're away at Huddersfield on Sunday.
All right, so they've got Huddersfield Sunday. Well, Salford Tuesday, Huddersfield Sunday.
Salford on Tuesday, Huddersfield away Sunday, Salford away the Sunday afterwards, then the Hull derby, and then
the
semi final.
They've got five games.
Obviously the game.
So I think now what they've got are they going to, you know, manage their fixtures there and thinking, okay, we know if we don't get there, but we know they won't get relegated. They've got too much quality, and then put all their eggs in one basket for a Challenge Cup final.
You look at that fixture and you think three of those five very very winnable games. Huddersfield.
Well, will there be an element that they'll I won't say chuck the game in on Sunday, but they'll think if we do a double over Salford, we're nearly in that top.
And they want to win the derby. Don't worry about that. You know, it's all about pride in the derby. So
it's all 6 points.
Yeah.
Very good. Big pack of forwards, Roy, at Hull. Yeah. When they've got them all fit, they're a decent side, aren't they?
They're a good side. Yeah. Some smashing lads over there as well. At Hull. I did the ex-players double last year there for them. Great welcome. A lot more friendly than it was when you played at Craven Park, but I must say that was.
What are you trying to say, Dave Watkins and Holstock and Len Casey and all them? They'd have been a bit jealous, were you right, wouldn't they? They'd have been jealous, wouldn't you?
Very nice lads.
Just talking about today's game and just going back to when you was right. Again, another big thing today is stats, right? So let's just say in your day then. For instance, what was the most tackles you would have made, and what sort of meters would you have made? You know, all this sort of rubbish what they're going about today.
I'll just tell you a true story. When we had Maurice Bamford as coach at Leeds, and I don't remember Alan Horsfall. Alan Horsfall was a player for Leeds, and he always stood all the kit, and he was great dressing room man. And all this modern stuff had come out, which Alan was an old fashioned player and he wasn't interested in. And Maurice is. You want your tackle count. Your tackle count, you know, you count how many tackles they've done. So after the game, Alan went, tackle count. Like a load of rubbish, this is it. Anyway, after the game, Morris says, I've got a tackle count. Oh, what tackle count? Alan went, John Holmes. He never even looked at it. John Holmes. It's John Holmes. It's John Holmes. Okay, then. Next week after, Alan, your tackle count again. Oh, dear, bloody tackle count. Rubbish. Oh, what tackle count? John Holmes. John Holmes again. John Holmes. All right, then. So, third week, I'm not kidding, third week, exactly the same thing. Oh, what tackle count? He said, John Holmes. He said, I've got you. He said, John Holmes won't play. And he says, no, but he wouldn't if he had been. And that's what it was like, honestly. And he said, stupid idea. So there were the stats. Nobody were really bothered. And I wasn't bothered. Because when I first got in there, the first team, I remember saying to Graham Eccles, what do we do? What do you want me to do? He says, we knock everybody down who's got the ball, and then we win it and give it to John Holmes. He throws it out, scores a few points, and we get winning pay. Is that it? That'll do me, you know. And that's how it was.
Simple and basic. That's what rugby league's all about, isn't it?
You guys know. You got no. When you go in the dressing room after the game, Roy, who's pulled the weight in your hand? You don't need any stats telling you that, do you?
No, exactly. And everybody did pull the weight because they all wanted to pay the bills. And it's so, you know.
You mentioned tackle count. There's a famous story about Mick Harrison.
Oh, Castleford.
When that came in and.
That was Sid Hines.
Yeah.
We did the same thing with the tackle count. This is, you know, and Ray Abbey did it. I think it was Ray Abbey. And same thing, and half time, you know, coming, she was doing all tackles. You know, John Holmes, full back, foul tackles, Leicester, three tackles, Alan Smith, five tackles. Okay, it's right through to Mick Harrison, who was maybe the strongest man I've ever met in my life.
Built like a gerber line.
And when Mick hit you, he hit you. You know, that was it. You was out. You know, it's knocked the wind out of you. And he gets to Mick Harrison, and it's a one tackle. And he says, Harrison, one tackle, you lazy so-and-so, one tackle. 40 minutes you've been out there. What have you got to say for yourself? And it's two. And he mixes, said, he said, what? He said, well, you're running at me. He said, what the hell? He said, well, there you are, nobody's running at me. And everybody just fell about laughing. We were getting beat at half time, we went out and hammered them. You know, that's the fun came into the game. So,
yeah, excellent.
And Denny Holliday with maximum one tackle. Anyway, yeah, nobody wants to run at Mick Harrison, does
many
it?
Many people didn't run into me.
No, no.
And he couldn't run around him.
It was the same with Trevor Skerritt. You know, same with Trevor Skerritt. Yeah, nobody ran at him because they just built like a gable end. Yeah.
And is it true that Mick used to come to training from Hull at Leeds in a mini? And it took him longer to get out of the mini than he did to do on a
Ford training. Fiesta, which wasn't much bigger. And poor Mick had come all the way from Hull after work, you know, get to Headley, and he couldn't even straighten up when he come out of the car. So going to the Paul said training thing we have, his stand even, tell him a few jokes and get back in the car and drive to Hull. That one makes training.
Very good. We've been talking about Hull Kingston Rovers, let's hear from their coach Chris Chester, who despite the great win wasn't overly happy with how his team performed in the second half.
I thought we were very sloppy, clumsy that second half. We got ourselves off to a really good start. I thought we dominated in the ruck. His contact were very good and put them under a lot of pressure. You know, they came up with few errors there, and we defended well and ran the ball well. But we got a little bit sloppy that second half and let a good side get some decent field position. You know, his discipline wasn't great. And I'm just pleased that we got the result.
Pulliatour and Walker in that opening 25 minutes were outstanding. They really took the battle to the opposition, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They goes off to a really, really good start. You know, Tony's a great bloke, and he's also a fantastic player. Adam Walker's going very, very well, and John, you know, he's improving every week. But you know, that's it. Was a team effort tonight from 1-17. You know, we dug in when we needed to dig in, and we got the result.
John Benevza, you mentioned him, a great kick and chase. We were about 15 minutes left, but just swung it back your way when it looked like Catalan were getting back in it.
Yeah, it did. It was a big momentum swing, I thought. Great kick from John and a great kick from great chase from the right edge. But yeah, like I said, a great team performance from 1-17, and you know, fantastic efforts from everybody.
And you're getting bodies back now at a crucial time, really, because you've got another game to choose. You're not going to get long to enjoy this one, are you?
No, not really. Back to work tomorrow, but it's, you know, the Super League campaign takes priority now until the next round. But you know, it's no coincidence. We're winning games now. We're getting players back. We've got Lunty and Tilsey, who I thought were very, very good last night. And you know, Adam Walker, he just amazes me, the work rate and the effort that guy puts in.
It's a big thing, this, for the club as a whole, isn't it? A semi-final, you're 80 minutes away from Wembley. What does it mean to you as a coach?
It means a lot to me, but you know, it's not about me. It's about the effort of everybody involved. You know, there'd be nobody prouder to see, you know, the chairman leading the team out. You know, at Wembley, there's a lot of money and sweat and tears gone into this club by a lot of people, and it is a proud moment for me. But you know, we've got another game to go. We're 80 minutes away from Wembley.
You are indeed. You're in the hat. I guess that's all that bothers. What will be over the weekend?
Well, that's all that we wanted tonight. We you know, the main thing was we got into that semi-final. We weren't bothered how we did it, as long as we were in it, and we're in it.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Yeah, welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on our Y. If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, we heard from Chris Chester there. I mean, I remember at the start of the season, we heard his win a lot. Was it 60-0 at Warrington?
40-0 at Warrington.
40-0, and we heard his talk after, and we were all for calling for belts and shoelaces off every old care fan in the land.
Listening to that, I think, to be honest, is it a bit harsh, or is he trying to play a bit of kidology? You know, deep down...
No, he was proud.
He would have been absolutely very, very proud. And I think one question was asked him, well, you know, the Black and Whites were playing Leeds the night after, and the question to him was, well, what about tomorrow night? You know, how do you see it go? He says, I couldn't care less. We're in the semi-final. He was delighted with that victory and in the semi-final. So I don't know if it would take a lot into that interview, to be honest with you.
No, he was happy though.
Delighted. Again, they try and play it down a little bit reverse psychology, which for mine is a load of bull, to be honest with you. So yeah, they would be in that dressing room in the day after the ice session, it would have all been smiles and having a good laugh.
Yeah. I think they'll relish being the underdog in the semi-final. Warrington have got it all to lose. Pressure's on them. They've got to make the eight still, Warrington. They've got the toughest running of fixtures still to come, and they've got that semi-final. So I think, again, there is a hint of Cass about what Hull KR are doing in the Challenge Cup, and I just think Wembley needs them. I think we enjoyed last year because there was a new set of fans there that hadn't, not new, but they hadn't been for a long time, so it was a great day out for them. And I think, again, Hull KR's fans have been superb this year. You know that if it's the 35th anniversary of them winning the All Hull final, they'll find 15,000-20,000 at least to go down to Wembley. They'll make a lot of noise. It would really enhance the day out, which is no way to detract from Warrington, and they do have a lot of quality players, but I think Hull KR will fancy that.
Yeah, I do as well. Is that the draw that the Rhinos would have... I mean, Warrington have beaten Leeds twice, so they might be happy to avoid them, Roy, but they're not playing very well at the minute.
Warrington? Well, they're struggling with one or two injuries, aren't they? But they did all right at the weekend. Some fantastic tie score, I thought. It was a great game to watch. I no disrespect to Warrington, but I hope Hull KR do get to Wembley. As Phil's have said, it make a change, you know, because it's, you know, the same teams more or less all the time. So I do, and I think Hull KR, I think they will beat him. Having said that, Warrington is still a very, very good side. Quite impressed with that Ashton Sims. I think he's doing a good job, and he did a great job on the...
He gels his hair, aren't
he? No, I've still got my hair, it's no problem. But I thought he did a good job on the commentary yesterday. I thought he did an excellent job, so...
Yeah, excellent. Good stuff. Albert Kelly, spoke to him after Bradford. I got the impression, Scoy, he wasn't sure about the old Challenge Cup thing, but... Even he was getting a little bit excited on Thursday night. I think he, you know, 80 minutes away, and, you know, from playing at Wembley, it's going to be a massive thing for them as well, isn't it?
Well, they certainly do now. And I think Albert Kelly mentioned as well after the game that they had one of the greats of Hulkester Rovers going into the dressing room, I think, the week before, giving him a chat. And Mike Smith, Roy knows Mike Smith very well, a quality player. And he was just literally saying, you know, this is what the Challenge Cup means. This is what the Challenge Cup is all about. This is what getting to Wembley is all about. And it's not just about the players. It's not just about the directors. You know, it's supporters. Everybody, you know.
Well, we noticed at the end.
Oh,
I mean,
huge.
Even though it felt they were never going to lose,
it's
they were
huge.
Getting nervous, the fans,
it's
weren't
huge.
They?
And then I say, that talk by Mike Smith to the players would have said to the players who were from Australia and don't really know what it really means, they would have been sat there now and having goosebumps and thinking, is this what the Challenge Cup's all about? And when they saw the fans and the atmosphere, what they created, it was sensational for them. And I don't know if have you done a speech to the Leeds ad before when we were there, you can understand where it's coming from and how big it is, because my first experience at Wembley was 85 with Hull, and we were there about an hour and 45 minutes before, and as we did the parade, there's about 8,000 fans there. And then as you're walking out then at 3:15, you was walking out the old dressing rooms, just a bit of a hill, and then you level out, and then all of a sudden you just see this mass of bodies, and then this roar. You think, how the hell have I got all these people in this time? And then as you walk there, you see that, and then you just turn around and you think, jeez. And you can't put it in words. You've got to experience that, Roy, haven't
you? So what was it like for you, Roy? What was it like for you?
Exactly the same. You felt like 10 foot tall, you know, and that's all I wanted to do, you know. I could stick my chest out any further, really, to be honest. It felt great.
What would you say to one of those guys then going in, you know, that maybe they don't know that these Australian guys, do they, what it's all about?
I think, I don't know. I'm sure they do, because they'll watch it in Australia as kids and that, like. And like what Gary just said about Mike Smith. Mike Smith is all KR through and through, from a schoolboy, you know, when we played against each other at schoolboys, and with each other, Yorkshire schoolboys, and along with like Roy Allstock and David Hall and Big John Millington, the whole Kings and Rovers through and through, you know, there's so much passion there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's getting through to the players that's playing now.
It's a terrific attendance as well. 6,000 on a Thursday night, all pay. In fact, it's been a really good weekend for the quarterfinals. 35,000 people turned up. And that's up on last year. Again, it depends on who's playing who, but just think it worked really well this year to have a game Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They had a rolling narrative. Each game had a story attached to it. The stories got bigger. In the middle of it, you had like the Kevin Penny try, which has gone viral worldwide.
Fantastic, yeah.
You had Ashton Sims mic'd up, which again just gave people who don't fully understand the sport exactly what it means. We've had a really good weekend with the Challenge Cup, and Hull KR started it on Thursday night.
Well, to be honest with you, doesn't that, again, and I get fed up, cheesed off about people saying to me, the Challenge Cup is losing its identification. The Challenge Cup doesn't really mean as much.
But hold on.
The fact of the matter is, for mine and players and supporters and directors, they absolutely love this competition, and I get it's steeped in history, hugely steeped in history. And as I say, why people try and knock it just with attendance? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why they tend it down, because it's not in the season tickets anymore, so that's why people got to pay. But I'll tell you what, there is nothing better than a Challenge Cup final, whichever team gets there. It's a sibler's and it's a pinnacle of anybody's career. It certainly was mine. And if any player tells you that they would rather play in a grand final at Old Trafford rather than walk out at Wembley, I don't believe them.
I think part of it this year has been down to Lee, because we have had, over the past few years, the Challenge Cup was turned into another round of Super League. You know, too many teams who are getting to grand finals are getting to Challenge
That's
Cup.
That's what I meant. It's the same. It was always the same teams.
You can't see a Featherstone coming through and ever
get because that's where the game's gone with full time, yes, with the full time situation.
What we've had this week is that probably all four games went to four, but actually more people turned up and more stories were told about it. And I think there was a little renaissance this weekend, and I don't know if that's a one-off or if we can capitalise on it, but it was a really good weekend, and it started, I think, with the atmosphere at Craven Park. And that was solely down to the Hull KR fans, because obviously there weren't any there from Qatar, understandably.
I thought the announcer guy was whipping up, wasn't he, when the lads were training in front of him, warming up, and that. I thought that was quite
brilliant.
Good.
And also, too, I think with the... I don't know if we're allowed to do this or say this, but anyway, I'm going to do it. You know, with the team... With the TV coverage, you know, I think the BBC do it absolutely marvellous. The build-up to it, and there. Sky, please. Why are you just 5 minutes and then we'll kick off? Give the biggest competition the respect what it deserves, because quite simply, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Challenge Cup not having the purpose what it should be. Well, they should give it the same purpose as what they do round by round, and only league, because that's all they are, the league games, week in and week out. Give the Challenge Cup the respect what it deserves.
I'm not going to defend them, but I can mitigate for them a little in that they don't get the final live. But to have all four quarterfinals filmed in their entirety, I think Sky deserves some credit for that. We haven't really had that before. And it was that story ongoing each day that led into the BBC.
Phil, we'll tell you the reason why, because the way that Featherstone beat Castleford and great performance against Wigan, and people were saying, oh, well, they're playing on a Thursday, why aren't Sky got it? Because they realise what sort of games are what and what the Challenge Cup brings. Because I tell you what, sometimes in the near future, there's going to be shocks again, you know, like Featherstone, you know, beat Castleford that time, and then they took Wigan pretty close, or have you? This will happen again. Don't worry about that. I can reassure you. As a one off. Well, you mark my words. And the fact is, the Challenge Cup is the biggest competition that our calendar has to offer. You may say, well, okay, it's a cup competition over three or four rounds. What is the grand final? Leeds will tell you they won it from fifth, didn't they? You only need to win three games and you can win the grand final. I rest my case. The Challenge Cup is the biggest.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY.